I'm Cindy, I'm an addict. So this has been so exciting. I've really enjoyed all the speakers that we've had so far, and I want to thank everyone for participating. So this man, he used to live in Fort Smith, and he went to my home group. So if you go to my home group, we have tie-dye banners hung all over the place, and you can see his name on a bunch of them. When I was asked to help find speakers, I thought about bringing him home to Fort Smith to share his experience, strength, and hope. He's just such a solid person, and I love that he's, you know, solid in NA. Plus, I know his wife, and she grew up with my older daughters. So it's strange how our circles intertwine with each other. And then he's brought Charlene with him, and she's going to also join the panel. So please give a big hand for Les and Charlene.
My name's Les. And my clean date is May the 13th of the year 2000. I found my recovery foundation in Fort Smith. So, you know, it's good to be back. I'm honored to have been asked to come and share at this convention. But, you know, Cindy asked me to come and share, and then she gives me the topic. You know, what is it? My attitude reflects my recovery, or however it goes. And you know, when you think about that, you think, where does that apply? Well, it applies everywhere, right? And then I'm thinking, well, I'm glad these people that are in the audience today aren't riding the Little Rock with me in the morning, you know? Because that attitude is a little different than the attitude that I display in other places, right? Or maybe, you know, sometimes at home dealing with teenagers, you know. So it makes you think whenever somebody gives you the topic like that, it makes you think like, how does my attitude, you know, reflect, and how is it in all these different areas and places like that? And, you know, I currently work for the Arkansas Department of Health. So, you know, I have a state job, and I see, you know, important figures of our state from time to time in different places, and now, like, you know, they know I'm in recovery. So in that aspect, you know, I want them to know what recovery looks like. So it's a really great thing. And another thing too, you know, like, when we left Fort Smith, and we moved to BB, and my oldest son at the time, you know, he started kindergarten and all these different things, you know, and then comes, you know, sports with the other children his age and the other parents, right? So, you know, and they don't know anything about me, the parents, you know, but yet, you know, I'm watching my kid practice, and I'm always sitting beside somebody talking. And one of the things that I remember the most about some of that stuff is like, I would rush from work to pick up my son and get to practice. We'd be late. And there was this one time I sat down beside this guy, and, you know, I talked to him a whole bunch of times about other just, you know, common stuff going on, you know, this or that, just small talk. And I looked at him and I said, man, I had a real hard time getting out of work today, you know, and I was running a little late. And he looks at me, he says, well, where do you work? And I was like, oh, I work up at the At the time, I worked in a treatment center in Searcy. And I said, well, I work up at the Mill Center in Searcy. And he's like, isn't it that drug rehab place? And I said, yeah, that's what we do there. And he said, what made you want to work in a place like that? That's a real good question, because I wondered that sometime while I was working in treatment myself. Like, what am I doing here, you know? Like, I'm in recovery, but is this good for my recovery at times? I wonder that too, so, you know. So the thing about it is I kind of shared a little bit of my story with him. And, you know, at the time I had about 10 or 12 years clean, and he looks at me and he said, I never would have thought that about you. And I thought, you know, if he's going to look at me and say, I never would have thought about that about you, I'm doing something right. You know, because he would have steered way far away from me if he'd have met me before I found the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And so there's that, you know, I mean, so we have to think about that, you know. Yeah, I want to hold myself together well when I'm in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. But that's not good enough. We have to hold ourselves together well in all aspects of life and everywhere we are. And another thing, you know, like when I was given this topic, I always reach for the literature, and I'm like, what am I going to find in the literature, you know, about attitude and acceptance? You know, there's a lot of stuff in there about acceptance. And mostly what it talks about is changing our attitudes. And I was reading the basic text, and you know how you get topics. So you want to go back and you want to look at the index and you want to look at the page. You look at the index, look at the page. And I just couldn't find anything that hit me. So I had some free time at work one day and I'm like, I'll look in the literature. I didn't have my basic text with me. It wasn't in the truck. I left it laying on the counter or something. But I had this guiding principles and I had a How It Works and Why book. So I'd start thumbing through them, you know. And what I come up with is like, is just the basics for me. I look on here and it says, recovery begins when we start to apply spiritual principles contained in the 12 steps of NA to all areas of our lives. All areas of our lives. So I guess I have to start applying it in the, you know, trip to Little Rock in the morning, right? But nobody can hear me, you know, do I feel better at the moment? I feel better at the moment, right? It's like instant gratification right there. But do I need to make sure that I do that in my home life, in my work life, and with all the people that I am? You know, I will tell you this, that when I'm in meetings with other people, sometimes I say things and I wonder if it's the right thing or if I did that in the right way. And sometimes, you know, people come up to me afterwards and be like, you know, I couldn't have said what you did, but I'm glad that you did. And you know, sometimes I think that it was coming off a little harsh because it was, you know, I don't have a very good filter sometimes. Y'all can probably relate to that. So I was wondering, you know, and then I've been placed in a situation where I was invited to a meeting because I don't have a filter, and the person that asked me to come to the meeting asked me there for that reason. And you know, he knows me. He knew me very well. He knew what I was going to say whenever some certain things come up. But I said what needed to be said in my mind. So sometimes we have to, you know, and a lot of times when we say things that we really want to say, in our back of our mind we can put ourselves in there that's wrong and that's rude, you know, and then that my attitude reflects my recovery, you know, do I have an attitude when I'm saying that? So we have to wonder about that, and sometimes, you know, it's good for people to come up to us and say, you know, what you said needed to be said. And that's a good thing. So, some other things that kind of stuck out to me in here is just another, like I said, it's, to me, it's real basic. The acceptance of our addiction is something that goes beyond our conscious admission. When we accept our addiction, we gain the hope of recovery. We begin to believe on a deep level that we too can recover. We begin to let go of our doubts and truly become with terms of our disease. We become open to change. So, you know, the thing about it is that my attitude had to change when I got here a lot. And along with that too is what happens is when we act out in the manner of recovery spiritual principles in our lives, the attitude of other people changes about us. So, you know, I had 18 months clean. I was living in the Kim Free House here in Fort Smith. I had a weekend pass. I was going home to see my mom, go stay at my mom's house, you know. And so I'm talking to her beforehand about, hey, I'm coming down to stay, you know. And she's like, oh, I'm not going to be there until such and such and such a time later. And I was like, okay, well, what am I going to do? You know, she's not going to be home and the house is locked or whatever. And she says, oh, I'll leave a key outside for you. You know, that was a pretty good feeling. You know what I mean? It's like her attitude changed because my behavior and the way that I was living had changed. And then, you know, of course she comes home and I'm like, here's that key that you gave. She said, oh, just keep it. You might need it later. So it was kind of, you know, the rewards of our recovery and our attitude and the way that we carry ourselves. And that was, to me, you know, not in any way did I ever feel like not having a key to my mom's house or being where I couldn't just access it any time I wanted when I first got clean, did I feel like that was, you know, wrong. You know, because it was probably what was needed. But we start living a life that other people see what we do, then we're able to gain those things back in our lives. So, you know, there's a lot of things about our attitude. And you know, I was sitting up here with my good friend Charlene, and we spent a lot of time in rooms of Narcotics Anonymous together, but we also spent a lot of time at another place, and it's the softball field. And softball does a lot for me in my recovery. You know, it's another type of unity that I have. And you know, I umpire. I don't play that much. But, you know, what I've discovered on the field being an umpire is, of course, one of the things is a problem, probably a good problem to have out there, is I don't hear very well. So I don't hear a lot of what goes on in the dugout, you know. And like our umpire that's in charge or whatever, sometimes he'll say, Les is one of my best umpires because he doesn't hear what's going on in the dugout. And you know, and he says, but I do have some of the people come up like, I was yelling at him, man, he wasn't paying any attention to me. And Philip just looked at him and says, oh, he can't hear, man, he didn't mean that. Oh, really, I didn't know. That makes me feel a lot better, you know, that's what they say. So, but the thing about it is, you know, I try to, when things get out of hand on the softball field, I remember what recovery, you know, and the way that I need to deal with that in a more professional and positive way, which, trust me, sometimes it's not real easy because you just want to yell back at them. But I have to remember that. And with that being said, I've been umpiring for, I don't know, it seems like forever, but I've probably been like 3 years. And the thing about it is you know, I see a lot of the same players and the same coaches every week on a week-to-week basis. And none of them were ever rude to me or, you know, anything like that. And I think a lot of that has to do with the recovery aspect of it. And you know, of course, I've been offered all kinds of things out on the ball at the ballpark. I've been offered tequila and marijuana, you know, smoke this, smoke that. Oh, I got some cool stuff in my vape. You know, I get all kinds of stuff like that. And I'm like, we're working. I mean, they're like, I'm supposed to be working. They're like, oh, they never know. I was like, yeah, but I will. And then, you know, finally it comes out, being like, oh, I'm in recovery. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm like, you didn't know. You know what I mean? you don't know what I do outside of here. I said, I'm not mad at you, you know, but, and with that, they, you know, you get a little bit more respect with that, you know, because the people that know people in recovery, you know, they, most people know somebody, or they know somebody in their family that has a problem. So they, you know, you get to share with them a little bit about being in recovery, and then they're, you know, they're all different. They're the way that they speak to you is different if they know what it is. And so there's, again, there's somebody else's attitude that changes. You know, I don't, like I said, I don't think this is all about my attitude. I think it's about how I present myself, and a lot of times other people's attitudes towards us, and how we live our life. So, and another thing too is when I think about attitude, for me, I kept coming back to the symbol. For some reason, it just kept drawing me back to the symbol. And I'm old, so I need glasses. I don't know what I did with them. Here they are. So I kept coming back to the symbol. And then I opened up the Spiritual Guidance, Guiding Principles book. And it says welfare is a word that's used more than it's understood. Welfare typically refers to our health, comfort, and well-being. Many definitions of this word also mention safety and happiness. So welfare, you know, it's like I said, it says it's a misunderstood word. It refers to our health, safety, happiness. And like I said, you know, you get into the symbol. Simplicity is a key to symbol. And then, you know, I always bring it back to goodwill.
Yeah.
Goodwill is best exemplified in service, and service is doing the right thing for the right reason. And I have to ask myself sometimes when I'm doing something, am I doing this for the right reason? Why am I doing this? Am I doing this for personal gain? Am I doing it so I can pat myself on the back? Why am I doing what I do? And you know, of course, like I'll use the softball, umpire softball, I get some personal gain from that. I make a little money doing it. But my body doesn't allow me to play as much as it used to. And I don't have time to go out and practice, but I can umpire, and I like spending time at the softball field. So it's something that I enjoy. And that brings me happiness. And there's a lot of things, you know, that we do, and we have to think about that. Is what I'm doing bringing me happiness? Is what I'm doing, am I doing it for the right reason? And you know, it's like coming up here and being able to share with y'all. It's a long way for me to drive to come, you know, all the way over here just to share in a workshop. But does it bring me happiness? Most definitely. Because I get to see some people I haven't seen in a while. I get to come to Fort Smith, you know, eat at some restaurants that are only here that we get to eat at. I've actually seen my sponsor twice in the same week.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time that happened. I'm lucky to see him in sometime in the month, but I've seen him twice in the same week. And you know, I get to do something that brings me happiness. And when I'm happy, that's good for my health. So safety, health, wellness, all those different things. But like I said, you know, I'm gonna go back to the goodwill, best exemplifying the service, doing the right thing for the right reason, and how does my attitude reflect that? And you know, because somebody can ask you to do something, and if you don't want to do it, they know before you ever say anything by your body language. Did I roll my eyes? You know what I mean? Did I have this icky look on my face? But in the end, you know, So, there's all those things, you know, like, how am I presenting myself? Like I said, I work for the state. And the people that I work with know I'm in recovery. And I worked in the position that I'm in now in 2020 during the pandemic, and opportunity came for me to leave there, and I left. And you know, everybody's like, we hate to see you go, you know, we know that, but you know, they also say, well, I would never say anything to anybody that's doing something that they feel is better for them at the time. So I went to work for another state agency. Went to work for UAMS for about 2.5 years. And I love the people that I worked with over there. I love the people that I worked with at Arkansas Department of Health. The position at UAMS kind of ended. And it just so happened, this position at the Department of Health came open at the same time that that one ended. And I literally, my last day at one job was on a Friday, and my first day at the other job was on Monday. So it went that quick. And the thing about it is you know, I interviewed for that job, and when I went and interviewed, it wasn't like an interview. Because the people that interviewed me were the people that were my colleagues before, and it was more like a conversation. And it took them a little while to get back with me because, you know, the state takes a little while to get back with things. And, you know, when I do stuff for people now, it's like, well, you know, we're working on it. But you know, my attitude has to reflect that as well. You know, I have to present that to them in a way that makes them happy. So, but the thing about it is that was more like a conversation. And you know, they know I'm in recovery. And there's some other people in my office that are in recovery. And you know, they have a lot of respect for people in recovery and the work that we do. You know, it's kind of like when I worked in a treatment center and we'd have people living in our housing, and we would talk to the people we know that are in recovery about getting a job, and they'd be like, oh yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got somebody that's in recovery working, and the people that's their bosses are asking them, is there anybody else up there where you live that needs a job? Because those people, you know, when we get clean, like when I got clean, I started doing it. I showed up on time. I worked the hours that I was supposed to work. If I had something that I needed to take off for, I didn't wait till that day. I knew ahead of time, and I told them what was going on. So, you know, I had several jobs when I was in Fort Smith, and all of them that I ever had, and ever since I've been employed in recovery, I've never had anybody not want me working for them. And, you know, that's part of our changes in our attitude and the way that I present myself working work-wise, and you know, I'm given a task and I complete the task because it's what's asked of me. And you know, am I doing it for the right reason? I was hired for that job. That's what I was asked to do. It's the right reason. I accepted that job, and I accepted those duties that were offered to me. You know, it's like, if we hire you, this is what's expected of you. This is what we want you to do. So I do those things. And I don't expect anything other than the paycheck that they promised me to give, right? I don't ask them to put my name in the newsletter because I did this or I did this, you know? That's not what it's about. It's what I'm supposed to do. You know, it's like in recovery, if somebody asked me to do some service work, asked me to come and share, in my mind, it's what I'm supposed to do. Because that's kind of what was asked. It was, you know, kind of like embedded in my brain. It's like, you know, if you're asked to do service work, you do it. And if you're asked to do something, you do it. Now, I was also asked, I was telling somebody right before this, you know, that I haven't been asked to share in a lot of, very much, you know, in a long time. Had nobody's asked me to share anything. And I got asked to speak, to come here, another convention, and a treatment center, all in the 3 days, back to back. And I was like, what's happening? So when, in my mind, it's like, if somebody's asking me to speak and they're giving me some topics and different thing areas, it's probably time for me to look at and examine something about me. It's like this one, you know, my attitude and my recovery and all that. It's like, okay, what do I need to look at? What do I need to read in the book to make me think about what's going on in my life at the time? And yeah, I've made some notes in these books of some things that I probably need to work on and apply in my life. And, you know, I think that to Narcotics Anonymous because, you know, in the God of my understanding. Because the God of my understanding allowed me to have this opportunity. And then there was a topic that went with it. So I utilized that to grow. And I'm going to use that. So I took some notes. I'm going to the best of my ability, try to apply that to my life, my recovery on a daily basis. And hopefully what I do will be for the right reason. And I want to thank y'all all for allowing me this opportunity to come up here. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to my great friend, Charlene.
Well, I'm an addict and my name is Charlene.
Hi, Charlene.
And I'm grateful to be here, y'all. I'm grateful to be clean. And, you know, when Les reached out to me and asked me if I'd be willing to come up here and do this, I was like, it was through a text message, so I was able to roll my eyes and go, oh, God. And, you know, my first response was, let me look at my calendar and see what's going on. Knowing good and well, I had nothing going on. Nothing. There's no ball tournament I can be in this weekend. There's nothing. Just me and my dog and Josh, you know. And so I was like, well, I know better. So, you know, I've always been taught that if I'm able to, then I do service work if I'm asked. And so that's what I did. I said yes, you know. And then I forgot about it. I completely forgot about it. And then Monday I get a message and he reminds me and I'm like, oh, my God. I haven't even looked at my basic text. I haven't looked at this. I don't know what's going on, you know. And so immediately my reaction when I get asked to speak on a topic is to dig through my literature, to dissect things, and to find something, you know. And I just really struggled with this one. I really did. I was like, you know, acceptance or my attitude reflecting my acceptance is a really broad topic, you know, and it's all areas of my life, right? So I decided to kind of put my literature down a little bit and think about my experience since I've been in Narcotics Anonymous and how it's reflected that. And you know, like Les said, we're at the ball field a lot. And I know that when I first came into Narcotics Anonymous, you know, my attitude said everything about me. I always had a bad attitude, you know, I did, about everything. And it was because I wasn't accepting of others, I wasn't accepting of my life, I wasn't accepting of the situation that I was in, I was not happy with the fact that I had to be in Narcotics Anonymous for the rest of my life. I didn't like that I had to write down a bunch of stuff on a piece of paper and share it with a sponsor. You know, I didn't want to do all of those things. You know, when I was at the ball field, I remember we had started playing softball early in recovery. And I had decided that, you know, I'm going to be on this team. Mind you, I haven't played ball in years, you know. And whenever it came to time for me to sit on the bench, you know, so other people could play, I was not very accepting of that. I threatened to quit the team. I was mean. I was hateful, you know. And I was like, you know, well, I'm your girlfriend. I should get to play when I want to, you know. And those kind of things, like the hurtful things, you know, and the manipulative things that we do, right? And so, like, my attitude reflected all of that, you know. It was rude and hateful. You know, I had to do a lot of step work to learn how to work through those things and to practice that acceptance. You know, and I can think of several times throughout my recovery where my attitude has reflected that. You know, and it's been in the way that I've treated newcomers. You know, the ones that come through the door and then go back out and then come through the door and then go back out. And then, you know, you just roll your eyes and you're like, oh, you're back again, you know. And, like, I should never feel that way because I was that newcomer that came in and out and in and out and in and out, you know. And then 12-9 of 2014, I came in and I stayed. Right? Thank God for that, right? So I'm here today because of that. But, you know, it was because of the people that did practice acceptance. Words are not my friend today. and that loved me as many times as I came in and out of the room, that allowed me to come back that last time that I've been able to stay, right? And so, like, I have to take a look at how I am treating that newcomer. You know, how am I practicing acceptance with that? You know, because I want them to have the best experience possible when they come into Narcotics Anonymous. I want them to stay. I don't want them to leave and die. You know, and my attitude can push somebody out the door. And I know a lot of people say, you can't run anyone out of the rooms. You can't run people out of the rooms. They leave because they want to. And maybe that's true. You know, maybe that is true. But I can determine if they want to be in the meeting that I'm sitting in. You know, the way I treat people can determine if they want to come in the room and give me a hug, you know, or if they want to listen while I'm sharing, you know. And then we always say, you know, listen to the message, not the messenger, right? But if the messenger just battered me with words, why am I going to listen to what she has to say? You know, so my attitude can reflect a lot of different things when it comes to that. And I know in our basic text, I'm going to turn to it. One of the things that I was reading as I was speed reading through my basic text, where it says, staying clean is the first step in facing life. When we practice acceptance, our lives are simplified. And so that stuck out to me because I try to think about when I first came into Narcotics Anonymous and everything was complicated, and it's still complicated today. But when I learned, when I started walking through the steps and I started looking at all of the things that I was doing and the things that were going on around me and the people that were around me, and when I started learning how to accept things for what they were and the way they were coming and allowing a loving, caring, higher power to work in my life did get simpler, right? So I was able to start practicing that acceptance, right? And so I'm going to fast forward here. I have a job where I work in the public's eye all the time. You know, I'm always, I don't know if any of y'all are friends with me on Facebook. You see me on Facebook Live, you know, hey, Facebook friends, I'm up on a roof, you know. And so the way that I present myself today can affect a lot of different things. You know, it affects my job. It affects the people around me. You know, in my eyes, I want everybody to look at me and see this sweet, loving, caring, passionate woman, you know, and she doesn't cuss. Yes, I do. You know, she doesn't mistreat others. Sometimes I do. You know, she doesn't judge nobody. I bet you I've judged you twice. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the things, though. Those are the things, like, I want people to see this image. And if I want them to see that image, then I need to live that image, right? So, like, I can't just get up there and pretend to be somebody. I can't just put that mask on. When I'm in Narcotics Anonymous, I learn to take that mask off, you know? So I have to be careful how I do that, you know? And because then it can affect everything in my life, everything. You know, I've reached a position in my life today where I get to sponsor women in the fellowship, you know, and I get to chair meetings in my home group. And I say I get to because it's a gift to be able to. I get to give back to Narcotics Anonymous that has given me my life today. And one of the things that, like, I've been working with some of my sponsees is unconditional acceptance. So it was crazy that this is the topic that I got, because this is one of the topics that I struggle with, is the unconditional acceptance. And so one thing I have to remember is acceptance does not mean that I am allowing people to walk all over me. It doesn't mean that I am laying down and I'm just allowing things to happen. It means that I'm becoming okay with the situation regardless of how I feel about it. You know, and so there's been a lot of situations in my life. You know, I'm a mother of three, and two of those kids are addicts, right? Two of those children are addicts. And then I'm also a grandmother of three, right? And they're wild. They're feral, so to speak, you know? And I say that with the most love, y'all. I love my grandbabies. They're my whole entire world. They make my light, everything just lights up when I think about them, you know? But they're feral. They're wild, you know? And they are. And, you know, one of the things that I've had to learn in my experience so far is being a grandmother is allowing my children to be parents, right? And so being able to practice acceptance and what they're doing as a parent, regardless of how I would do it. You know, my attitude says everything about that. You know, my kids can come in the house and they can discipline their kids in front of me, and I'm like, ooh, you know? Or I can step aside and I can just let them be parents. And And that's something that has been hard for me, and I have learned through trial and error in the past 3 years to sit back and to allow that to happen. And, you know, thank God for that, because if I would not have done that, I wouldn't have the relationship with my kids that I have today. Because I remember growing up, y'all, and my mom and my grandparents would fight all the time, and then I would fight with my parents over my kids, you know, and it was nobody wanted to accept how somebody else wanted to be, basically how it was. And I kind of went straight off on that topic, I'm sorry. But for me, that's what I think of when I think of this topic, you know. Today, my attitude, I think of gratitude when I think of attitude. You know what I mean? I do. It's just an automatic thing for me. Today, you know, my attitude does speak volumes about myself and about my recovery. You know, when we do go to the ball field, and we're sitting up at the ball field, there's not really anybody up there that looks at me and just thinks, God, she's a horrible person. You know what I mean? Or, God, she's just so mean. But yet, you know, if you go to my house and you speak to my significant other after the ball field, you know, he may have something different to say about that. You know, he may have something different to say. But that ride to the ball field, you know, and that ride home from the ball field are two different things. You know what I mean? Versus who I am up there. And so that's one of the things I am learning. I'm learning how to translate that, not just from out in the public's eye. You know, one thing in Narcotics Anonymous, what I say and do in the room, I need to say and do outside of the room. Like, it's not just about living it in the room. It's about living it outside in the world. And so, like, part of that is also I've got to learn how to live that at home. And I have to be able to show my family. I have to show my significant other specifically, you know, that unconditional acceptance as well. You know, that's been a struggle for me. That has been a struggle for me. Unfortunately, he's the one that gets to see that bad side of me. You know, he's the one that gets to see the unaccepting part of me. You know, everything that I have an issue with outside, he gets to hear about. You know, and it's not always fair. You know, that's what I have a sponsor for. You know, I need to call my sponsor for those things and not batter my significant other with them. That's something I'm working on. You know, it's progress, not perfection for me. See, I'm going to flip over here to the Guiding Principles book in the third tradition. Let's see. Here it is. Finding the patience and tolerance to accept those members we can't seem to stop judging is an exercise in surrender, acceptance, and humility. And so, like, I wanted to read that because I wanted to kind of bounce back to in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous with the acceptance and the attitude. And it's not just with those newcomers that come in and out of the rooms, you know. I know I have been sitting in business meetings. Those are kind of hard to practice acceptance in sometimes. You know, when we have the group conscience and it doesn't go our way, it's not what we feel is best for the group, but it's still the group conscience nonetheless. You know, we have these, I say old timers, but they're not really old timers. You know, they're just members of Narcotics Anonymous that have the clean time in there, and they'll be in there and they'll be sharing about things, or they'll be throwing these ideas out there, and it ruffles my feathers. You know what I'm saying? It ruffles my feathers, and I want to say something. You know, and one of the things that my sponsor had taught me was not everybody needs to hear that, you know, and that sometimes it's okay to just be quiet. And how I present myself in that business meeting with how I feel can speak volumes to the newcomer or to that older member of Narcotics Anonymous who's sitting in there struggling, wondering if they still need to be there or not. You know, because I've been that person too. I've been that person that has sat in the rooms and I have had some years clean and I'm struggling to feel like I still belong in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, or why am I still here? What else am I supposed to achieve? You know, is this really all my life is? You know, and acceptance in those situations has been very crucial, you know, and coming in the rooms and just being honest about it and telling people where I'm at, you know, and my attitude speaks for me when I feel that way because I'm not very friendly to people. And I wouldn't say I'm not friendly, I just don't like to hug people, you know? I just kind of come in the room, I walk right past everybody, and I go sit down in a chair, and I don't greet nobody, you know? I don't smile. And if you ever see me, when I come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I have a big smile on and I hug everybody, you know? I love everyone. But it's those moments, you know, that not everybody around me know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I've got to be careful how I do that, too. You know, I have to make sure that I'm allowing other people to know where I'm at. And if I'm not doing that, you know, I could cease to exist in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous myself, you know? I got really nervous all of a sudden, y'all. I don't know. I was like, yeah, I'm good. And now I'm like, whoo, there's a lot of people in here and I'm nervous. I was a little bit nervous to come up here. I've never been up here to Hanging in the Fort before. And so, like, being asked to speak at any convention for any workshop or anything is an absolute honor. It really is. Anytime I get to share my experience, strength, and hope, whether I feel like I'm going to do good or not, is an honor for me, you know? Because Narcotics Anonymous is my life. It is truly my life, you know? And like Les had shared, I've had somebody tell me, I would have never have thought that about you. You know, and 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. Like 10 years ago, I walked in the room and like you were trying to push me out as fast as you can and shut the door and lock it. You know, and today that's not the case. Today I walk in and nobody knows I'm an addict unless I tell them. You know, and that's that whole, that stigma. And when he brought up the symbol, like my favorite thing in there is talking about the stigma, right? The last to be lost is the stigma, right? And for me, like, in order for me to do that, I have to practice unconditional acceptance in my life. I do, for me. You know, because if I don't, like, I accept that I'm an addict. I accept that I'm in recovery. I accept the fact that I have to work this program as long as I want to continue to live the life that I live today. Because I could stay clean, possibly, but I wouldn't be happy. I would be miserable. I would. And then I have to continue to do what I'm doing. I have to continue to get back to the newcomers. I have to continue to be willing to come to these events. I have to continue to do the things that I've been doing this whole time in order for that stigma to stay gone for me. You know, otherwise I'm going to walk around and I'm going to be a miserable human being for the rest of my life. And I don't want to live that way. You know, Narcotics Anonymous has given me a beautiful life today. And I'm grateful for it. You know, I never in a million years thought that I'd be able to go out to a ball field where people were offering us everything under the sun and be like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. And really just watching them do it's enough for me. I'm like, nah. Nah, I'm good. You know, jail does not sound fun. Because, you know, what may be a good time for them is a jail time for me. You know, and I got to remember that. It's not the same. It's not the same. But anyways, you guys, I really don't know what else to say besides the fact that I'm super grateful that you guys have asked me to come up here and share this. And, yeah, thanks.